This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
The late, great Shirley Chisholm said that if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. It is with this in mind that ILTA Publication takes aim at boardrooms everywhere and asks, what seat would you pull up to the table? Our next chair-to-table guest is Susan Kino, longtime ILTA volunteer and speaker. And in her copious spare time, she is the owner of Kino Cozy Associates, an information technology services provider based out of Chicago. Today, Sue sits down with ILTA Senior Content Manager Beth Ann Stubbe, and we talk about what chair she would bring to the table, who else is at that table, and so much more. So thanks for joining me, Sue. I'm really glad we had a chance to connect at ILTACon.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And I know that you've been involved in legal tech and the information systems area for so long. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Kino Cozy.
All right. So Kino Cozy has been in business for 30 years. We are going into our 31st year, and I'm happy to say that our very first client was a law firm, and that law firm is still a client of Kino Cozy's today, which goes to show the longevity and the commitment and the partnerships that we strive to build with our clientele. How Sue Kino got involved in the legal vertical is a long and winding road. Initially out of college, I was interested in the accounting field. And by virtue of the job that I first got when I was coming out of college, they had me introducing both the accounting and the technology field. Well, shortly thereafter, I became very bored in the accounting field and discovered that the technology was much more interesting and much more fun. So I stopped doing the accounting and converged into the technical market. Thereby, at that point in time, it was more or less in the real estate industry. And then we merged companies with Kino Cozy to form Kino Cozy. I am one of six owners of the organization. And lo and behold, 30 plus years later, we are here.
You guys have an amazing background, and I think it's a really interesting story. Tell me a little bit about how you continue to move kind of that needle forward.
So it's very interesting. The technology in the legal vertical evolves, and as it evolves, professional service providers like Kino Cozy need to stay current and innovate to meet the technological demands of law firms. Every year, we strategize on what current trends are reporting and what we can do to improve our services. Kino Cozy doesn't sell any product. We don't develop. We don't do any mass product initiatives. What we do is we rely upon the legal vertical, the Gartner Magic Quadrant, and what we're hearing and seeing from our clientele to provide the services that we do today. So it's very important from a strategic standpoint that we evaluate on a constant basis what we're doing today, because what we do today or what we did yesterday won't be what we're doing tomorrow. And not to say that it happens overnight, but the evolution of our services, we like to be, I don't want to say bleeding edge, but ahead of the game. So each and every year we have a strategy session where we determine what we think we can do to make changes to enhance the services that we are providing. And it's not to say that, we're providing these services so that we can gain extra fees. It's, law firms in general are being asked to reduce their fees, to reduce their hours. And that's a trickle-down effect. So we want to get ahead of that game and be a participant and say, you know what, we have all of these services. What can we do to add to these services in order to make our law firm clients more efficient, effective, and not have to bear any extra costs for including these additional services?
When we talked at ILTACon a bit before we recorded this podcast, we had a really interesting discussion about that getting ahead of the curve, that bleeding edge. Now, I know that you're heavily involved with ILTA. You've been a speaker. You were just at ILTACon. And we talked a bit again about that volunteer aspect and the mentoring aspect. And you talked to me a little bit about the WIC program. Would you tell us about that now?
Absolutely. This is myself and a coworker within the confines of Kino Cozy are the chariots, if you will, of this program. So we feel that Kino Cozy has a very diverse workforce. And one of the the lesser spoken is the women, the female population. So we engaged with WIT. We also engaged with the IAMCP in hopes that we can bring this program to everyone within Kino Cozy. Currently, we only looked at it from a management perspective, but we've quickly determined that it could benefit from an onboarding of new staff, engagement in their career paths, things of that nature, to help elevate what is actually happening when we come to the table to strategize for the services that we provide, because we are seeing that inclusion, everybody working together to come up with the strategic output of what we have to offer, is better suited when we share all of this information to improve the outcome of those strategic sessions.
And I think that that's probably very much an industry turning point for everyone. You know, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, and ELTA's got a new diversity and inclusion core value. So I think that this is all really a turning point for us. Having that seat at the table, which we'll get to in a couple seconds, is really important. And it's really, from my perspective, that you guys are pushing this forward when you don't have to, is a turn in the industry.
We hope so. You know, it's all based upon the individual. So you can put all of these programs in place and hope for the best, but it really comes down to the people coming to, you know, our internal table to help make it all happen. And you're going to find people who will embrace it and will take a path that is appropriate for them. And you will find people who it might not be in their career path or ideas and they opt out, but everybody within our walls have a choice.
It's a really great option for people. So let's take that and kind of take it that step forward into this Shirley Chisholm idea. So if they don't give you that seat at the table, which you guys are doing a fantastic job of providing, what would you bring? You know, you're at a different point in your career from, you know, new associates or new members. You're at a different point than I am. Talk to me about the chair you would bring to the table.
I would bring the stool. And the reason I would bring the stool is for its mobility. So when you and I spoke at ELTA, we talked about the stool and the mobility. And one of the lingering comments in my thought process while we were talking was, would I bring a seat at all? Or would I just be mobile and walk around? And I came to the conclusion, the reason that I said the stool was because I want to sit at the table. I don't want to be above anybody from a physicality perspective, you know, for fear of dominance or management. I want to be a participant, not in that situation, not necessarily the leader. I want everybody to collaborate and bring their ideas and not feel that there's any prioritization over anybody's ideas or seniority. This is all about hearing everybody's thoughts, comments, inputs, innovation, ideas. It's an open table. And the stool provides me the ability to move if I have to, but to be mobile and hearing what everybody has to say.
That's a really interesting perspective, because you're making the table that we haven't even talked about yet, but you're making those seats balanced and even. So what does the table look like?
The table is round so that we can see everyone and everything. So we've done this actually internally, and it was a square table because then you can still see people, but you have, you know, in a square, you lose sight of your vertical, your peripheral vision. So the round table promotes a centered approach so that everybody can see everybody and hear everybody's thoughts clearly.
Who's at the table with you?
Depending upon what the initiative is, anybody who wants to participate. So within Kino Cozy, I'll give you an example of a real world situation. Within Kino Cozy, we have a group, it's called K2 Cares. And K2 Cares is a subgroup within Kino Cozy where we give back and we come up with charities and things of that nature. Every once a month, we publish out selected charities by our staff in order to give back. So it may be we are shoveling garbage or we are planting trees or whatever they come up with. This K2 Cares is published out to everybody within the organization. And if you want to participate, you can. So depending upon the initiative, we offer it up to anybody within the group. And those who want to come to the table can. And those who opt out or just want to participate, they can as well. So we have a lot of avenues where we give people the opportunity to take advantage of coming to the table with their ideas.
I think that's a really great initiative and a great way to get more people involved. I do wonder, though, if you think that will help influence what's next in technology.
Yes, I do. So the table concept in our daily life, in the professional services, we have the innovators of the organization that we can see trends in what's happening in the legal vertical. But to be honest, it's the people who go to our clients and who are talking to our clients each and every day that hear a vast majority of information that necessarily doesn't always trickle up. And in an innovation and evolutionary strategic planning, it's important to us that we get together the right people for the services that we are offering in order to get feedback from them prior to those strategic sessions that I was discussing earlier. Because the people who are living it day in and day out hear a lot of great information that is useful in helping us prepare for the next gen of what professional services we want to offer.
Do you think that the work you're doing now will lay the groundwork for the next big innovation project for you?
Yes. And the reason I paused was because this initiative for us, some of them have been around for several years. The big push or the evolution of our organization from an inclusion perspective is relatively infant, so within the last 12 months. So the reason for my pause was, am I seeing the end goal reached yet? Not yet, but I do believe that it will come, and I believe that the impact will be significant. I am already seeing increased energy coming from these initiatives, and that energy means that everybody is more further engaged, which when that is done, teamwork blossoms, if you will, and it has a tendency, or so I've read, that historically when these types of programs are put in place, it generally affects the bottom line. And, many organizations are looking to the bottom line to make sure that they can stay in business. And we feel that this is one of those ways to improve that.
When we were at ILTACON and we were talking heavily about this volunteer mentality, this mentoring mentality, you mentioned that you'd been on a trip recently with your daughter. Can you talk to me about how you're applying volunteerism and mentorism, even at home?
So I recently took a trip with my daughter, and we volunteered at a wildlife orphanage in Zimbabwe. And from a teenager's perspective, the eyes were wide open, and even from my own perspective, because there are many things that those of us on a daily basis take advantage of. And it's not to say that it's right or wrong, but when we arrived, there were certain things that we immediately knew we took for granted, such as toilet paper. It's not widely available over there. Money was not widely available there. The currency, was the US dollar one day and then the bond the next day. So there are a lot of things in life that we take for granted. And I wanted to show my daughter that it is not the same day in and day out, that there are other cultures out there that we can embrace.
I think that's a really amazing thing for a teenager to see, because that's volunteerism and that's women leading on a day-to-day home life basis. So talk to me next about what you see coming up in technology and what's next for you.
I just gave a talk this morning, and it was for the small to mid-size law firms. And the talk revolved around IT budgets and how they're being asked to cut budget, but yet the IT demands want those dollars to be increased, or the IT departments want those dollars to be increased. So where do you find the balance? What we are trying to do, as we see more and more firms moving towards Windows 10 deployments, increasing their security posture, we are taking a backstep approach and trying to figure out how we can leverage current technologies, current budgets, to bring solutions to the table that may not have a significant impact on the budget from a technology perspective. In the small to mid-sized market, that's a much more of a challenge because they don't necessarily have a large IT budget. So what we are doing in that perspective is bringing solutions to the table for them to review what their current technologies are and bringing it down to a simplified approach of what can you do without a big spend. And this will get you to a line in the sand where it may be an acceptable level of technology use for that specific firm. Other technologies that we are really innovating is our help desk. We support over 65,000 users across the globe, and primarily in the legal vertical. And that is a lot of users across the globe. And it's not a set it and forget it type of professional service. It is something that we continually evolve. We have just introduced a chat. So as the technologies advanced, as the sector of learning advances, because for each stage of anybody's career, we have to adapt to how people want to engage with, whether it be your technologist, whether it be your help desk, whether it be a strategic planner, because everybody in their stage of career learns differently, uses technology differently. So we are trying to adapt the services that we provide to align with stages of careers, not only look at it as just a service offering, but how we can bring that service offering that will have the end user population use it more readily available, and so that they get the benefit in return.
I think what you guys are doing is tremendous. I think your volunteer and women who lead outreach has been amazing. I am grateful for the time you've spent with me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to learn from you. And I'm incredibly excited for future ILTA members to listen to you speak. Thank you, Sue, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.